thanks for letting me talk a little bit about Obadiah. We missed that in the overview that I had a couple weeks ago, where we covered both Joel and Amos. But today we're going to look at Obadiah for a little bit. It's the shortest book in the Old Testament. It's not the shortest book in the Bible. There's three other New Testament books that are shorter, but this is the shortest book in the Old Testament. And it's unique in that it's written about the Edomites, and I think to the Edomites. And so we ask, who are the Edomites? Well, the Edomites come from Esau, Jacob's twin brother. And we remember that Jacob had his name changed to Israel. And the line of the promise from Abraham's covenant that God made with Abraham from Genesis 12 flows through Jacob and not through Esau. And that's going to be very significant here as we look at Obadiah and understand it. It's really important to root ourselves again back in the meaning of the Abrahamic covenant in Genesis 12, and as Genesis 12's covenant is restated in many places throughout the Old Testament. But if you recall, in Genesis 12, God promises judgment upon those who curse Israel. This is sort of the foreign policy that God gives to the other nations. He divides the world into two. There's going to be Jews, and with Abraham, there's not even a family, let alone a nation yet. But God sets his love upon a people who are yet to be, that he's going to create for his pleasure, and they're his people, and through them, he's going to bless the whole earth with the revelation of himself and ultimately with his Messiah. But Abram is not a Jew when God speaks to him. And God comes to him, the land of Ur, and he says, "Go from your country, your kindred, your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I'll make you a great nation." So the Jewish nation is yet to be. And he says, "And I will bless you." So there's a personal blessing upon Abraham, and I'll make your name great. There's a blessing then upon this nation, so that you will be a blessing. And he goes on to say, "I will bless those who bless you." Bless you, and not only Abraham, but the nation that God promises to create from Abraham. And him who dishonors you, I will curse. And then he says, "And all the families of the earth will be blessed." But again, Edom is one of those nations that sets its heart against Israel, and they suffer God's judgment as a result of it. And that's really what Obadiah is about. At least it's one of its central themes. You remember, again, from the very beginning of the relationship between Esau and Jacob, it's not good. There's a wrestling even inside their mother's womb. And that enmity continues not only in the individual brothers, but continues through the families and ultimately through the two nations that flow. So much so that in the New Testament, we see, again, this enmity between the Edomites for the Jews in Herod, who is an Edomite, and he hears that a king of the Jews is born, and he calls for the killing, the slaughter of the babies in Israel at that time. And so, as we open up Obadiah, we look first at the first announcement of judgment to Edom. In verse 1, we read, "Thus says the Lord concerning Edom," that God is concerned with the nations. He wants to bless them as they would come to him in faith. And part of the faith is also having favor upon the people whom he's blessed, Israel himself. He says, "We have heard a report from the Lord, and a messenger has been sent among the nations. Rise up, let us rise against her for battle." So the Lord is speaking not only to Edom, but to other nations who are aligning with Edom against Judah. So at this time, Judah is under oppression, at least under assault. And he says, "This is what I have in store for Edom. And if you join Edom, it is what I will have in store for you." Again, God's declaring himself to be the arbiter among the nations, who rules over the nations, and that he wants the nations to know he set his love upon Israel through an everlasting covenant, and that he will absolutely keep his promises. In verse 4, he says, "Though you soar aloft like the eagle," in other words, right now it looks like you're strong, almost invincible, "though your nest is set among the stars, it seems like you can't be attacked successfully. From there I will bring you down," declares the Lord. God's reminding us that our present does not determine our future. that if we're presently in sin and willful rebellion against God, we will reap what we sow. And it's really important not to consider, well, it seems like everything's going well, even though I'm rebelling against the Lord. It is obedience to God that determines our future. That is the ultimate. And especially among the nations here, he's saying it is your obedience to my Abrahamic covenant to bless Israel that determine my blessing upon you. Now, the second announcement of judgment to Edom is found in verses 5 through 7. So Edom is making alliances with other nations to come and fight against Judah. And verse 7, all your allies have driven you to your border. Those at peace with you have deceived you. They prevailed against you. In other words, God's saying, hey, I'm going to turn your friends against you, Edom. And he's reminding us that we shouldn't trust in our friends. We shouldn't trust in our riches, our alliances, in order to give us strength and protection. Instead, we need to trust in the Lord. And Edom's not doing that. And they need to turn to him for his favor rather than sort of manipulating the situation for a good outcome. And then we see in verses 8 through 15 an announcement of judgment, accusation, and warning to Edom. So in verse 10, because of the violence done to your brother Jacob, there it is, it's the Abrahamic covenant. Because you have set yourself against Jacob, shame will cover you and you shall be cut off forever. This is the outworking of Genesis 12:3. And he goes on in verse 14, do not stand at the crossroads to cut off his fugitives. He's talking about Jacob. So Jacob is under siege, part of the disciplining hand of the Lord against Jacob. And he says, but don't go against Jacob. Don't, as people are fleeing from the enemy, the Jews, don't cut off the fugitives and don't hand over his survivors in the day of distress. And then in verse 15, for the day of the Lord is near upon all the nations. And there's that theme, the day of the Lord, where God, the righteous judge, is going to return in judgment and in righteousness, but also in peace. For Israel and for all who would trust in his Messiah. As you have done, it shall be done to you. Your deed shall return upon your own head. Again, he's telling us about a future day of reckoning. That day might not be right now, but it's absolutely as certain as though it were right now. And then God's going to speak to Israel. He's going to promise restoration and victory to Israel. It's the nation whom he loves, who he set his love upon. And he says in verse 17, but in Mount Zion there shall be those who escape, and it shall be holy. In other words, there's a remnant that's going to escape the wrath of man. And the house of Jacob shall possess their own possessions. In other words, everything God promised them is going to return to them. God's sure on his promise. He promised them land. He promised them a nation that's going to be blessed. And he says that's all going to happen in this day of the Lord. And then verse 18 is key. He says, the house of Jacob shall be a fire and the house of Joseph a flame. So at this time, there's a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom in Israel. So the northern kingdom is referred to as the house of Joseph. The southern kingdom is referred to as a house of Jacob. So they're going to be one together again in the future, the day of the Lord. And it says, in the house of Edom shall be a stubble. And so he's describing, he says, right now it seems like the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom are really so weak compared to Edom. But there's going to be a day when they're going to be like a fire in the face of sort of straw. Well, straw is going to be burned up in the face of the fire. And it says, they, Joseph and Jacob, the house of Joseph, house of Jacob, shall burn them, Edom, and consume them. And there shall be no survivor for the house of Esau. And then he says this, for the Lord has spoken. All this is determined by the word of the Lord, by the promise of God. And finally, there's a promise of restoration in Yahweh's kingship in verses 19 through 21. Those, verse 19, those of the Negev, that's southern Israel, shall possess Mount Esau. He's saying, now what's going to happen is Edom is trying to take the land that I promised to Israel. And at the end of the time, that's not going to happen. In fact, the opposite is going to happen, that Israel is going to maintain the land that I've given her, but also I'm going to give her the land of Edom because Edom refused to bless my people Israel. He says those of the Shephelah, that's again sort of the plain part near Mediterranean Sea of Israel shall possess the land of the Philistines. So they're going to possess even more of than the land that God promised them. They, house of Joseph, house of Jacob, shall possess the land of Ephraim, the land of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead. Again, the land is really important, and the land means land, and all these things will be fulfilled. And then last, verse 21, Savior shall go up to Mount Zion. Mount Zion is Jerusalem, to rule Mount Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. There's going to be a Messiah that comes from Israel, who is king of the Jews, but then ultimately he is also the king over all the world, all the nations. And saviors are people who are deliverers. Again, Jewish people who entrust themselves to the Messiah will assist the Messiah in ruling over the nations from Jerusalem. You know, a big question here for the Israelites living in Obadiah's day is, why do the wicked prosper? And God answers that with Obadiah. He says, well, it seems that way right now, but that is not true. God is never mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he shall also repay. And he's telling Israel, my promises are true. He's telling Edom, my promises are true. In fact, he's telling all the world, my promises are true. So let us humble ourselves before the Lord and receive his blessing, a blessing that will flow to us by his grace. So God bless you. Trust that was helpful.